And lastly, on pages 7 and 8, just a listing of all the different required communications that we have. So most of these take place, through the engagement letter process as we come in, our meetings with you to go over the report, and then we lay everything out here in case there's any questions. The big ones here, like I mentioned before, there were no uncorrected misstatements in the statements. I think when we did the financial statements, we had a couple of proposed adjustments to get to your final numbers on the statements. They were all factored in and included. And the big one, of course, is we're not aware of any fraud or illegal acts here at the school, so you get a clean bill of health. Anybody have any questions about the results or the actual?
Another question, you have the numbers, just have the percentages and stuff. When does the actual audit come out?
I have the draft, and I forwarded it to the board just today because I actually thought we were going to see it here today at this meeting. The CBOC had it last week. We got it on Thursday of last week. They got it the same day and went reviewed the same documentation that you did yesterday after having had a chance to read it for a week or review it for a week.
So we usually go.
I just forwarded to you all.
Yeah, we usually go over it in more detail with the CBOC. But basically for the draft, it's, you know, our report is ready. Like I mentioned before, with the AUP report, it's the one thing that will hold us up from issuing the finals. We can certainly come back if you have any other additional questions.
That must be a common issue, right? Everybody's going to be in the same boat.
Everybody's in the same boat.
Yeah.
Until that report comes out. Like I said, last year this time it was already out. So as we were meeting with the boards and we were issuing the final reports.
Questions? Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Okay.
So
thank you for your work.
In terms of approving it, do we wait till you get your final before the board approves it, or how should we do that?
Well, basically the draft isn't going to change unless you have any questions or anything. I don't know.
The only questions I had, I addressed with you directly and provided the documentation for the management letter.
Yeah. We'll fix that, so that's a problem there. So basically the draft is the final report. So yeah, the board can finalize that at any time. Like we say, once we get that AUP report from the state, we'll finalize it on our end, put the final package together, the actual final reports. We're hoping we'll get it by the 30th, we'll send them all electronically to the state so they have it.
I've already sent it to the charter school off the draft because they needed it for our renewal application, so they already have a copy of the draft.
Right.
So, Alan, do we need to vote on it?
That's the question I was asking, Tim.
No.
Do we?
We can't. I'm not seeing.
But Joe was saying he hasn't seen the actual draft. So
the issue from, I mean, I understand that we can't, but we have a charter renewal application to submit by September 30th, and I'm just wondering how this ties in. It's a requirement. Have the audit for the charter renewal, right?
Right.
So if you've sent, so follow that line of thinking. Charter school office has a copy of the audit.
Right.
Okay.
CBOC has a copy.
So they're going to, the charter school office, I believe, is going to use that, or whoever the financial people up there, they're going to use that audit to take the chart data, assuming their chart data is similar to yours.
Right,
to insert into our charter. And do I follow that? In other words, they're going to say, yes, it's okay.
Right. And like I said, the draft's not going to change to the final report. So
right.
Well, I know other schools have done the same thing. They've sent drafts in.
They rework, they pull numbers out and rework pages 5 and 6.
Okay.
That's what our financial framework is based on, pages 5 and 6.
Right.
So do we vote to send a draft?
Do we vote to send a draft to the charter school office, or we just,
the question is,
we've sent the draft, the board does not really need to do anything until they see the final document,
right.
And then they approve the final document. I think that's the question.
I think we can approve the draft
on the condition that the auditor tells us the draft and the final are the same. And we can, with that condition, we can approve the draft. But the drafts are in our inboxes right now.
Yes.
Is that right, Aaron? So we have to look at them and somehow we have to approve them. I don't know whether you want to do that before September 30 or not, but it seems to me we should have a, if you have a problem or you have questions, call Alan with it. And if everybody's all right, tell us after they read it, tell you by email. Tell Alan or Trish or you, Susan. Somehow we've got to see something before September 30 if it's important.
Conditional approval?
Could you give a conditional approval? You've given a conditional approval. Make a motion that it's, how he worded it first.
Awaiting the final
draft.
Yeah, I can motion for that if we're aligned. It didn't sound like we were.
I'm not voting on anything that I haven't seen.
Right.
Okay.
The issue isn't draft to final.
Right.
The issue is let's see the draft, and then if we're comfortable, then we say we'll approve it, assuming that the draft and the final are the same document, other than it's not CBOE approved or whatever procedure.
I think we should print it out.
Okay. Because that's 10 days. When are we going to get back together?
Yeah, we're not.
We're not. We have to do it today. So we need to print it and look at it right now.
Why don't you, how about this? How about if you move on with the remainder of the meeting, mm-hmm. we get it printed out,
mm-hmm.
you bring it back, you circulate it, you know, you get copies.
Take some time to look at it.
And then vote on mm-hmm. it later on.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Can't you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We can.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you print it out?
Oh, yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
I'll make copies or something. It's only about 65 pages. Mm-hmm.
And that's not that long.
Would it be easier to call a special meeting?
No.
Let's get it printed out and see what we all think okay. after we study it. If we're ready to say, hey, this is fine.
We're going to get it printed.
Right.
Perfect.
Makes sense.
Okay.
All right.
Who's going to hold off and do the vote until that?
Alan's printing it right now.
So do we
if
want?
If you tell me to print it out,
I'll do it.
I have electronic. I don't need it.
Well, there's no wires.
Draft.
How many
pages?
Yeah, 123.
That's right.
I have electronic. I don't need it for COVID.
CBOC.
I can't get service in here. I would just do like a couple copies.
Yeah,
we can share.
Thank you for coming to
heard you talking. Normally, at some other schools, what we do is when we present to the CBOC, like you're saying, then the CBOC comes back and recommends the motion to accept the report. That's
yes.
why we normally just do a brief overview and not go through the actual statements here in depth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How long do you print?
I'm waiting to see if it printed.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Tim. Thank you for coming.
Thanks. Alan, if anybody has any questions, give me that.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks again.
Thank you. Everybody have a good night.
You as well. Drive safe.
All right, director's report.
Open house.
Mm-hmm. My open house was last night, and it is tonight. Last night was high school. I don't yet have an accounting of how many folks were here, but I thought there were a significant number. For high school open house. Tonight is middle school open house and it occurs at 6 o'clock. All board members are welcome to be here, welcome to greet people, welcome to visit classes. Essentially at the open house, it is not a parent-teacher conference. It is an open house where parents really are learning more about what's going to happen this year.
So they go into each one of the child's classrooms and meet their teachers?
Yes.
So they go through a regular day?
Yeah. Different groups do it differently, but yes. Essentially, the teachers are there so they can meet them, but each team does it a little differently. Last night, for instance, in high school, they followed the child's schedule. so parents could go to 8 classes, and each teacher gave a little presentation about what the class was about and what the requirements were. I was pretty pleased actually with last night's attendance. I felt like there were more ninth grade parents as one would expect, and I felt like there were IB parents.
Yeah.
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 The next item is IDEA Awards. You have in your packet just an announcement of the IDEA Awards that are done each year by the charter school community. And this, there is on October 12th at the Executive Banquet Center in Newark, and some of you have been there before. The dinner is on the 12th. I would like to know if there are people going. I have requested from Jerry Burrell that we send one of our, at least one of our kids up there, and one of our students is going to be part of the entertainment. Julio is going to go. And so if there are board members, we really, you'll notice the price of this has escalated a lot.
It has.
Mm-hmm. If you want to go, we need to know, like, soon, okay? It would be very, very nice if a couple of board members would go. So you'll see it's at Newark on the 12th, 5 to 9. And we will pay, the school will pay for the tickets. It'd be nice maybe if we got a whole table. Okay. So can you, Andrea, can we make a date that they're going to let you know, and you can send out a couple of emails to remind them?
Trish, do we have any people that have been nominated for the awards?
Yeah, do we have any?
Yeah, I do. We do have one. Mm-hmm. I would tell you my reticence in telling you is that if the person
doesn't win,
I don't feel like having it in a public purview. But the answer to that question is yes.
Okay. So if we want to support Mr. and Mrs. whoever,
well, and I don't know if I'll have any. I don't know if I can get any indication. Because again, if we have a stab at it, here, if I can be very candid, here's the dilemma for us. For us, it's an hour and a half jaunt up there, mm-hmm. a stay there, and an hour and a half jaunt back. So that's a lot to ask of people. Mm-hmm. Hopefully one of our people will be honored up there. If I can get a handle on that, I'm going to try and do so, but I don't know that I'm going to be able to do so. I don't know that I'm going to be told is my problem. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Next item is performance data. Oh, my notebook. I need another notebook. This data was sent out to you in the summer. And what I do every year is, just because I started it this way, is to do how we have performed longitudinally. Mm-hmm. And so I sent this out, again, I've sent it out to you twice, I believe. Mm-hmm. I may perhaps the best way to approach this, you can see that we are doing very well, just overall. We're doing our proficiency ratings, in other words, how proficient are our kids. They're meeting or exceeding the standards across reading and writing, and they're also doing that very well across science. If you look at any of the data and you were to say, well, is there an area that it looks like is a little, a little less proficient in than in another area? The answer to that question is, yes, we're probably less proficient in the area of mathematics than we are in the area of literacy. Whether we're talking about SBAC, which is a state assessment in the spring, whether we're talking about the SAT, or whether we're talking about the IB exams. So in each of those standardized testing issues, You'll see that our math scores are not as high as our literacy scores. So in terms of what we are doing to take a look at, because we believe, and you'll see, if you've read the charter renewal, you will see that I have written in there that we need to work on our mathematics. Again, even though it exceeds basically the rest of the people, that's an area that for our children's success in college mathematics, we need to work a little more on that.
How do you explain the downtrend in science in the eighth grade from 16 to 17? Meaning we went from 94% to 87.
I can't explain it right now.
Okay.
Only thing, how we approach this, in September when the first in-service day in August, the teachers look at the data. They then begin trying to determine based on the data if there are weaknesses or are the questions changing. Are there particular kids that aren't performing well? And so they do that in August. And then as we have built in the PLCs during the morning session, 7:30, mm-hmm. they will be looking across those times.
Trish, one reason it probably dropped, and they've addressed that this year, there is one unit of study that is not included in the next gen standards,
okay.
which science teachers started to use this year, but the new test won't start till next year. So they have dropped that one unit of study for the last year they're using DCAS this year, because they found that in across the board, they mm-hmm. saw that drop. And they believe it's because that unit of study wasn't included in the new curriculum, but it's still in the old test. Hmm. So that's part of
what
I believe.
Do you remember what it is, Janet?
I have it written in my book, but okay. they're taking it out of this year's DCAS because yeah. they saw that was a problem across the board. So the next gen standards just don't include it. But the teachers have started using those standards.
Okay. So. I can, for the high school science, the grade 10 mm-hmm. science, the first group that tested, we had obviously a small sample, and of those students, there were, I think it was like 3 or 4, which is about 10%, that were not considered 10th graders at the time it was assessed. They kind of skipped a grade because of credit issues.
Okay.
So then the next year, those kids got thrown back in and they had to take it. So in other words, that first group in 2015 that took it, we didn't have a complete sample of all ability okay. levels probably, you know, included in there, where some of those weaker students got delayed a year in taking it, and so that probably caused that drop. So the first number was probably an atypical sample, is what I'm saying, mm-hmm. the 2015.
And you're talking about the 10th graders?
Right.
The
10th grade,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then with the 8th graders, it was, as Janet was saying.
Mm-hmm. But it was what?
As Janet was saying.
The 8th grade yes. curriculum last year did not include a unit that was in the 8th grade test.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
A unit of study. But what? our 8th graders also participated last year. And so our teacher has benefited from it, some piloting of the upcoming tests and what it's going to look like.
She's also one of the lead writers mm-hmm. in the new test. That should be helpful.
We are, I think we are really fortunate in terms of the science that Lauren Horesny is one of the state leaders. I mean, she's been designated as such in Next Gen Science, so she's certainly able to bring back a lot of, and she's taken on the leadership in terms of the science. One of the things I wondered about, and I certainly can't substantiate too, as we've worked at our science program in high school, and we, even though the curriculum is there, we also have not had perhaps a consistency in the staffing that have taught the ninth grade science, even though they're not taking the test until 10th grade,
right.
there's not been a consistency yet in the ninth grade sure. science teacher,
mm-hmm.
which may impact what's happening in 10th grade.
Yes.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes.
We've had 3 different people
right.
teaching
that makes
ninth
sense.
Grade science.
Absolutely.
I'm not blaming.
No,
I'm
no,
not
no,
blaming
no.
It's just
no.
another
it's
variable.
Yes, right, exactly.
Shonda.
That makes sense.
Trish, it looks to me like on page two, if you look down at grade six on math, in 2017, they were 95% proficient. Mm-hmm. And two below that, 67 and 62, something, they're either a lot of smart sixth graders.
It changed the test, Joe. Mm-hmm. What happened, they had got, we went to the, here's what happened. What happened? That was the first year, that the 2 years below, we had gone from DCAS math test to what's called SBAC math test. And what happened, the standards dropped down a grade level. So our kids overall, across the entire state, were not as prepared because the standards had dropped down.
Yeah. And you could see it across the state.
Yeah.
Yeah, the state dropped almost half. Yeah.
And it's a more rigorous test.
But then what happened in 17, same old tests in 16?
Well, it's the same. We got better at it. Mm-hmm. Two things happened.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Well, we also.
And we also changed our math program.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time.
It looks like the steps you took last year for this school year we just finished are working.
Yeah.
Because it's
yeah.
the same test.
We think so. Right.
I'm not worried about going down to 62 because that's old history now. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about I'm happy about going to 95 as if we haven't started to make a change in our math curriculum.
Right.
But it looks like the state hasn't caught up though.
Not by much.
Their scores look like from 14 to 15 dropped significantly, and they haven't come back up to that level yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we separated significantly mm-hmm. from the state. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we invest a lot of resources in selecting a new mathematics
yes.
curriculum, and it paid off.
We did.
One thing I didn't look at, Trish, if you look at, for instance, sixth grade 2 years ago and seventh grade 1 year ago, those are the same kids, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Is there anything noticeable in, when you do that, looking at how did last year's sixth graders do in the seventh grade, how did last year's seventh grade do in the eighth? I don't see anything off the top, but I haven't done
the
analysis of that.
The answer to that is nothing that you can see here in these pages.
Okay.
With that, I'm not going to say too much more about it, but only this, that one of the ways to look at this is longitudinally, that you're tracking the same kids over time, all right, and as Joe just pointed out, the sixth graders become seventh graders, the seventh graders become eighth graders, so you need to stay tuned to that, or we do. The other, when the state is looking at the data and what is published in the newspaper, they're giving the one shot for that grade level, mm-hmm. okay? So we've got to look at it two ways. Where are we in terms of this year at that grade level? Mm-hmm. But we need to make sure we're tracking these kids over time, that they're keep
progressing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I mean, overall, I got to tell you, and like I told the staff, and the first faculty meeting, they're knocking it out of the ballpark. And we are very, 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 very fortunate to have the caliber of teachers we have, number one, certainly to have the students who are willing to kind of rise to the expectations, and thirdly, the support of parents who want to have their children here. So we're very fortunate.
If I remember right, in the renewal, wasn't there specifics based on one grade to the next and the number of kids that went up one PL, two PL, and
yes.
went down? So there's a little bit more specific in the renewal of specifics to what you were just asking, how many children increased from 1 year to the next from that level. And if I remember right, it was only like two that actually went down, decreased in those levels. Mm-hmm.
I've got to read that because I don't have it logged up here. But the other thing that goes out to the teachers, which I don't give to you, they have a whole set of data and the number of kids in what PLs. Because PL1 is below standard, PL2 is still below standard, but getting approaching PL3 and PL4. That means performance level. So the teachers all have all access. The other thing the teachers have, and the state's pretty sophisticated with this, in their testing data, we can go in and look at, for instance, how many kids took did well on how many questions. We can't see the question, but what we can see is we can see the claim and the target, which tells us which standard they didn't do well on. For instance, in one grade level right now, some of our conversation with the ELL, or if they brought it, I saw it, but they brought it up to me. In the area of speaking and listening, isn't that interesting, speaking and listening? One wouldn't think that we falter in that area. Not that we faltered big time, but if you go in and you look, there's charts that you can see every child, and it's green, and it's yellow, and it's whatever, and you can go and you see a string of yellows, and they're lined up and under speaking and listening, that's telling us that, hey, we need to go back in, we need to figure out what precisely they're asking, how they're asking, and then make sure that our kids are prepared to do this. So the teachers, the state has gotten more sophisticated data for us, and the teachers are getting more sophisticated about looking at that. Right. It's tedious, but important. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you follow the classes, there's improvement every year, over the past few years.
Some of the
improvement. I mean, just look at the SAT scores compared to the state.
Oh, God, yes. I know, right?
I mean, it's disturbing on so many levels.
That's what I just said. It's hard. I was like, what kind of conversations are happening?
Disturbing.
Like, how? Oh, no. We're in a great position.
Okay. This is great information. Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Monthly board financial reports.
Okay, you have the packet for August, for August 31st, and I'm going to pass around the July web report only because we need to vote on both July's web report and August. And August is included in the packet, but July is not.
Just one page on
this. Yeah, it's just the July one. Is just, all the rest of the financial information for July is included in the August report. It's a cumulative report.
But we just have to approve both, right?
Yes. Yes, it just was the same thing with both directions. All right, so if we look at page one, I'll just point out in the top section for revenue, we've received nothing from the local districts yet. Mm-hmm. That billing was just on the packet now. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That section was that those numbers were just determined and sent out to the districts last Friday.
Okay.
So we have nothing from the districts at this point. It looks like it's pretty much aligned with the estimate that I made. It may be a little bit lower than the estimate that I put in the preliminary budget, but we can talk about that when we get to the finance committee meeting. Another thing I wanted to point out, in 98146 miscellaneous receipts, we've got $54,000 so far. $50,000 of that was the Calder grant. We were successful in getting the Calder grant, which is $50,000 this year and next for expanding the IB program down to grades 9 and 10.
Nice, cool.
So we'll be sending additional people out for training for that.
You mean from middle years?
Middle years program, yes.
Nice. That's great.
The number I like to point out in the next section is where we are in terms of the percentage. We would expect to be at 16.67% in our expenditures, but we're at 14.14%. However, September is a three payday month. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a third more in salaries and a third more in other employment costs. So we'll probably catch up this month. The other difference that the state has done, at the top again, I apologize, my notes are all over the place. In years past, they forwarded 75% as their preload. This year they changed that amount to 85%. So we got more money in July than we have in years past. What line item is that? That's the very, the first four revenue items, four or five. That, those numbers represent 85% of what we should get based on May 1 unit count. And then we'll get the additional once they, we finish the unit count on the 29th of this month. On page two, I have a box in the center with number of 81,000 in it. Mm-hmm. For miscellaneous deposits in our preliminary budget, I have included $100,000. We're already at 81, and I have a $40,000 check that I just gave Franny yesterday from Discover. So we're actually already over the $100,000. So these are all good budget things I'm pointing out to you, positive for us.
Yeah.
So that $144,000 you see in local reserves, hopefully we won't need.
Okay.
All right. So all that being said, we were told this summer that the $101,000 that we are reduced for this year, that may not be the only time they come to the well.
Okay.
So it looks good now, and hopefully it will continue to be positive for us. And some other numbers have come in. In fact, one just came in while we were sitting here that was positive in terms of transportation. I think we'll be in pretty good shape. The gray section, I need to update those numbers based on the audit. That's why they're gray.
Okay.
Those were in the June 30th financial report. But if those don't match what he has and what I have printed out for you all, then I'll change them. In the next few pages, I always look for those numbers that are above where we should be. So in this case, it would be 16.67%. The first one that comes up is the travel. Mm-hmm. We have started sending people for training for IB, new teachers for training for IB. I don't think it includes your trip to Boston yet, but Debbie just got back from a trip to Boston. And the call to grant specifically included quite a bit of money for travel. So I'll adjust those numbers as we move through the year.
Alan, I'd like the board and me to understand how much more we're spending on electricity because of the pool primarily, which is the biggest draw, and how much we're spending this year on debt service for the USDA debt.
Okay.
Those are two big numbers that one is that is a variable because of the pool. We're trying to raise revenue in the pool by having people be members and other schools using it, but we're not at break even, I don't believe.
No.
I think we ought to know what the story is there.
Yeah, and I have a page in here specifically for aquatics that we'll get to.
Okay.
But if you look at page four in the center, there's energy 55203. The estimate for this year is that we'll spend $268,000 on electricity. That's just electricity.
That's not oil.
No.
And that
is oil.
Where is the oil?
Oil is there.
Oil and electricity?
Oil, propane, and electricity are there.
Do we have a breakdown of that pie?
I can get it. I don't have it.
And that's...
I would like to see.
That's since the beginning of the fiscal year.
Yes.
Since July 1.
Well, that's how much we have budgeted. We spent $26,000. So about $13,000 each month.
And that's for all school facilities, middle school, high school, swimming pool, everything.
Yes. So does that break out?
How does that
work? Well, only 10%.
You know how that compares, Alan, to like 2 years ago and we didn't have a pool even a year ago. We only had a pool for half a year, this past year.
We're below.
I don't know. I have the numbers. I just don't have them off the top of my head because I do track it. And then for the building, we've got $500,000 budgeted. All of the USDA loans together don't come to $500,000. However, we are required over a certain number of years to have built up enough for a full year of payments.
Okay.
And so we're well on our way to doing that.
Okay.
And if you go back to the previous page, we were like $223,000 balance in that account. So those are the big numbers, and to date, for
what have we repaired already, Alan? What's the 500?
That's
The what, sir? What did
it's worth any kind of building and grounds repairs. Then there would have to be repairs, but it's related to buildings and grounds. I mean, we have to pick out, we could have 1,000 of these codes on here if we chose to.
Right.
So we kind of sort of put things into the bucket that mm-hmm. sort of fit buildings and grounds.
Okay.
Not necessarily repairs.
You know, the bigger numbers, I saw 38%.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's everything from July 1st?
Mm-hmm. This is all from July 1st.
Yeah. Would things like changing the light bulbs to LED come under this or not?
It would go out of energy.
Changing reduction. You mean replacing the fluorescent bulbs? It would fit into probably custodial supplies when we purchase the.
Yeah, energy should go down when we do it. But
yes.
But to
where's the capital the actual come from? Capital.
Right, that's right. It's a capital expense.
This building is a reserve being built up to maintain sort of ongoing normal maintenance.
Correct.
But that. The light bulbs themselves, if we go to all LED, which is something we'll talk about in a minute, that's, you think, custodial mm-hmm. supplies? Mm-hmm.
The bulbs are, yes.
Okay.
And you've got that budget in it?
Mm-hmm. Page 5, custodial supplies, we're just talking about. We're at 52%, but we buy in bulk
right.
for the whole year.
And
hoping
correct.
That we get better prices, which we do get better prices. But then there's additional things that come up throughout the year.
Correct.
Technology's at 74% because we had to buy all the iPads up front for the new students and the technology for the new teachers. Page 6, this is the summary of all the different appropriations we have. You see that at the top we have one that is expiring on 9/30 with a balance of $532. It's gone, it's spent, it's zero. So we're not at risk of losing any money.
Okay.
So Alan, if we look at last year, just to, not to interrupt, but if we look at last year before the pool opened, energy was running at an average of $10,000 a month.
So
$3,000
more a month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the propane alone is for the pool is $1,300, mm-hmm. about $1,300 to $1,500 a week.
Okay.
Just for the heating of the pool.
How much a week?
A week?
Yes.
$1,300 a week?
Yes.
Wow.
So
keep those little swimming warm.
But it also runs the system.
How warm do we have to keep?
That keeps the environment. And we'll be dropping the temperature.
Can we make it a little colder?
We're dropping it now that it's going to be swim season.
There's all like regulations about, right, mm-hmm. about temperature for different, like if you have things for seniors, you have to have it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Therapeutic.
Yep, yep, yep. That's why Ennis was so hot.
Mm-hmm.
So let's skip the web report and go to the one on the back of the web report. This is something that we've been trying to come up with a simplified report for you all. Not for any other reason than just to kind of put it all in a summary form. So this is something I worked on, and Steve and I are going to continue to work on it. I shared it yesterday, made some modifications to it after showing it to the budget committee. So what it does at the top, it lumps all those state things. So it pulls all the appropriations that are from the state, lumps them all together, and shows you what we have. Same thing with local. It puts the miscellaneous receipts, how much we get from the local districts, our interest payments, all those kinds of things all fall into that. And then it shows you we're at 84%. Last year at this time, we were at 73% of what we had thought we were going to get. But again, they increased to 85%. We're about on the same level as we were last year in terms of local funding. We're ahead of where we were in federal, because federal, you get paid as you go. You spend it, and then they reimburse you. And at the bottom is a similar sort of breakdown of the expenses, cumulative expenses, and comparing to where we were last year. All in all, we're better off than we were a year ago at this time, but we're higher in terms of travel, slightly higher in terms of supplies and materials.
Where does like utilities fall under these categories?
Contracted services.
Okay, I like this report. This is very for the simpletons in the room. Myself, I'm saying myself. Thanks for clarifying that, Jen.
I think what Jen is saying is we, when Allie goes through the 6 or 8 pages, nobody can find where he's referring to. You know, he says, well, we've got, but we don't know where it is. Even if he's told us a line item, it's line 55, 106, we're still looking for that the whole time.